Well, before I get started, I want to recognize that today is Usher's Day. And so I do want to thank our ushers for doing what they do, for being consistent, for showing up. And even though things come up, you know, the ushers have remained consistent. Amen. And so we just thank God for them. Ushers, thank you. And we just ask that God would continue to bless you and that he would continue to enable you to serve. As scripture would say, doorkeepers of this house. And in fact, that's actually the theme we're going to be coming from. The ushers have selected a scripture, and that comes from the book of Psalms, the 84th chapter. Book of Psalms, the 84th chapter, or as some like to say, the 84th standard of Psalms. And once you are there, we're actually going to be coming from as much of this chapter as much of this psalm as God would allow. But for now, we're going to read verse 10. And in the meantime, you know, technology is a wonderful thing. And when it works, it can be used to the glory of God. And when it doesn't work, hard for me to see how it glorifies God if it don't work. But that's okay. That's okay. Because we didn't always have technology when we preached. And, you know, this is an aid, not a crutch. But God has worked it out somewhat. And I think we're just going to have to run with what we have. So Psalm 84, 10, when you have it, say amen. Amen. If you still need some time like me, say wait a minute. Amen. I'm not by myself. Psalm 84, 10. And if y'all just pray with me, the Lord is going to have his way today. Book of Psalm, or the 84th standard of Psalms. And we're just going to read from verse 10. And today, what I'm going to do is preach out of the New King James Version. There is a reason I'm doing that today. Usually it's the Christian Standard Bible Version. I'm going to be doing the New King James Version. And Psalm 84, 10, the theme of Usher's Day and the scripture for Usher's Day is as follows. It says, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." The title for today's sermon is as follows: I'd rather be at church. I'd rather be at church. You may be seated. I looked up tickets to the upcoming Beyonce concert that's happening at SoFi Stadium at the end of April. No, I am not here to advertise Beyonce. Lord knows I'm not here to do that. But I was just curious because I saw something come up and it was advertising tickets. And if you've ever gone on StubHub or any of those ticket sites, websites, you'll see that there's levels of seating. And for Beyonce, I was just curious to look at the price of the tickets. I looked in the nosebleeds, and if you don't know what the nosebleeds are, those are the highest seats. You know, those are the seats where when you look at the stage, everybody kind of looks like dots. I looked at the nosebleeds, and the nosebleeds were starting off at a reasonable price of about $125 to see Beyonce way out there. And then as you continue to go down the levels, the level below the nosebleed, I remember was about $300 and so, you know, just the level right below the nosebleeds. And then as you start getting in more, then it jumped to $700. And then once you start getting into seats that you can actually see Beyonce, then they were starting at about $1,000. Again, this is for one night, one performance. And then as you get closer and the best seats in the house, if you go today and get them early today while there's a special going on today, you can get fantastic seats to see Beyonce for about $5,000. Now, some of y'all are rich in here, but I don't have $5,000, nor do I have $1,000, nor do I have $300 to go see a performance. But I will tell you this, by the time that March ends, remember her concert is in April, by the time March ends, I would be surprised if it weren't sold out. And then you know, the prices go up as time goes. The prices go up as people buy. So these are the best prices you'll get. And I find it interesting that when it comes to Beyonce, people will climb over each other to go get the tickets. But when it comes time to come to church on Sunday morning, it's hard for people. It's hard when you've been standing outside in line for 2.5 hours to get in the show that you already paid for. And then come the Sunday morning where there's plenty of seating and park. Amen? I understand it's hard, but I just find it interesting that we will do so much to go see and be part of things that will never benefit our personal lives. But when it comes to coming to church, it's hard. And I know what some of you are saying, here we go again. Another guilt trip for not coming to church sermon. He gonna want us to come to church. Trust me, I understand. And I say this because I used to be like some of you, wondering why I gotta be here. Sometimes, I remember the first time that I realized that not everybody goes to church was when a friend of mine said, talking about what we're doing on Sunday morning. And I said, well, I'm going to church. You know, that's what I had to do. And they're talking about, well, I'm gonna go to the movies. And I said, wait, what? You get to go to the movies? On a Sunday morning? In my head, I'd rather be at the movies. On Sunday morning, I'd rather be at the beach. And most of us could agree, on Sunday morning, I'd rather be in the bed. Never did I think that one day I would actually say, and much less preach, that I would rather be at church. But then there are some of us who are super spiritual. And we say that, well, you know, God is omnipresent. You know, since y'all so smart, you know, God is present everywhere. He's with me at my house. He's with me at my car. So you know what? I can worship God where I'm at. I don't need to come to the church house to praise God. You know, we got edumacated and now we can say these things, right? And so when I bring up sermons like this about being in church, the question that's asked is, why is coming to church such a big deal? Why is it so important to worship God at the church building? Now, for those of us online, I know that there's some of us that wish we could be here, and I understand. Trust me, I understand, and God is going to bless you for it. But for those of us who are content with coming online, I know this has got you a little upset. Why is it so important to be here? If God is everywhere, and God can be praised everywhere, why do I have to come here? And this psalm, Psalm 84, my prayer is that it would help enlighten some of us through the words of this text, through the words of this psalm. This psalm, as most of us may know, psalms are actually songs. They were sung with music. And in fact, we usually think of psalms as being written by David, but David did not write all of the psalms. In fact, in this psalm, Psalm 84, the pretext says that this is a psalm of the sons of Korah. And what these sons of Korah were, they were musicians that were stationed on the outskirts of the temple. And so it would be kind of fitting, like the ushers would choose today to have this scripture, it would be fitting for the musicians on the outside of the temple to be singing about why it's so good to come to the temple. And so, again, why is it so important? There's three reasons that they list, and I'm going to try to go through them as quickly as I can. One of these reasons is found starting at verse 1. I want you to notice how the writer talks about the temple. You ready? Psalm 84, verse 1, it says, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Verse 3, "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself." Y'all see where it's going with it? "Where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Verse 4, "Blessed are those who dwell," say it with me, "in your house. They will still be praising you." One of the important things to remember about the temple is that when the temple was imagined by David but built by Solomon, this is the first temple, and then eventually I know there was a second temple. When the temple was created, the temple was always meant to be the house of God. Now, how do you build a house for God if he inhabits all heaven and all earth? How do you build a house for someone who is always in and outside the house? How do you build a house for them? Well, that is exactly the point, is that they had built this place and they wanted to know, they wanted God to know that in this place would be dedicated to you, God. This temple would be dedicated to the worship. It would be set exclusively for God. And I would even say this is the same with this church sanctuary. That's actually where the word sanctuary comes from. You know, sanctity, you know, sanctification. It talks about setting apart. This building is set apart for God. It's set apart exclusively for God. We are not holding political rallies here. We are not trying to do some business deals here. This is exactly and only set for the living God. Are y'all still with me? I'm gonna answer your question. Just stay with me. This place is set exclusively for God. Now, I want to share with you my work situation. And some of you may know that I, of course, I'm a pastor here, but I'm also an engineer during the week. And our office, because I work in an office, our office is, you know, the corporate office is in a building. And as it turns out, we actually have more employees than seats in that building, okay? So how this works out is that we have what is called a hoteling system. So what that means is that somebody like me would have to reserve a desk, like a hotel. I would have to reserve a desk ahead of time so that I can have a place to work. That gets very interesting when you start talking about mandatory days. You want to make sure you have your desk in time, or the desk that you want in time. Now, here's something interesting. I don't go every single day. I go 3 days a week. It may be more coming up. We'll see. But I have to reserve a desk. However, in that same area, there are certain people who have offices all to their own. The CEO, chief executive officer, he has an office, and he ain't got to share it with nobody. The CIO, chief information officer, she has an office, and she doesn't ever share it with anybody. And there's some others that are there that they have offices. They don't have to reserve them, right? But I do. I have to go and reserve them. Stay with me. How come they get offices and I don't? Why do they get offices and I don't? Well, and I'm going to have to speak a little in the worldly sense here. One is because they're more important than me. Sorry, that's how people think. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that that's correct in the word of God. I'm talking to you how people think. They've got chief in their names. They're important. They get an office. But the other thing is that they come relatively consistently. They actually do come 4 to 5 days a week. And so for them to come to the office, they need to come in and have a space all their own. I'm going somewhere with this. That they can work and that they can do what they need to do. They have to have a space that's dedicated to themselves. Why? Because they're important and because they are consistent. The reason why God has a house here on earth is because he is that important and because he is that consistent. We reverence God because he is important, and we expect him because he is consistent. It would be crazy for all of us to have these nice, beautiful houses, but then when it comes to God, he gets the leftovers. It would be crazy for us to have guaranteed places that are for us, but then when it comes to God, he just gonna have to fit in where he get in. God is so important that we will dedicate this entire building specifically and strictly and exclusively to the worship of God. And because this is God's house, because we have said that God can inhabit this and this is going to go the way that it goes, because of that, we can expect that when we come in this building, we can meet him consistently. Some of us treat God in the hoteling system. You know, some of us have God as part of the life. You know, but what, God, you have to reserve your spot because I got this spot for somebody else. I got this spot for something I'm trying to do. I got this. But what God does not just get a part of the life. God does not just get a part of our area. God does not just get whatever's available. God should have something set apart because he has set us apart. And so that is what this building is for. It's because he is so important and because we expect him to be here that we have dedicated this place to the worship of one true God. And I will tell you this, that God appreciates having his own home, just like you do. How many of us want to live in hotels all the time? How many of us want to live in a place that's not ours all the time? Some of us have stayed with other people and lived with other people, but the yearning is always to have our own spot. Hello? God appreciates having his own spot. And when you are in your own spot, you know, things, you move differently. You know, it's hard to explain, but you know, when you're living out of hotels or when you're living over a family member or a friend's house, it's just not the same as when you're living in your own house. You move around differently. You do things differently. Why am I saying that? God is present everywhere. He's present in heaven. He's present on earth. He's present here. He's present at your home. He's present with you in the car. He's present with you at your job. He's present with you at your school. He's present with you at your friend's house and your grandparents' house. He's present everywhere. But there is something different about being in this dedicated house of God. There's something different about that. So one of the reasons why it's so important to worship him is because this is God's house. This church building is God's house. And I know that there are some of us, again, online that wish they could, that wish you could be here, that long to be here. And for you, I've got something, as well as some of us, I've got something coming up. Psalm 84, verse 5. Now I want you to see, as the psalmist transitions to this part of the song, the psalmist starts to talk about the people that have to travel here. Verse 5, he says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." Just to make sure we're all on the same page, a pilgrim is a person who's making a trip for a religious purpose, a trip to worship God. Some of us could say technically we're pilgrims, because we're coming from our houses over here. I know my Palmdale crew said they more some pilgrims, you know, because they had to make a little bit longer of a trip. But that's what these people are. We're talking about people, and the image that's being created is of people who are making a trip to the temple. We know that there are there were no cars or trains or buses back then. So if people wanted to come to the temple, they had to walk. And even walk through deserts. Verse 6, it says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. I'm going to come back to that. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. I said I was going to go back. God had me stuck on this for a little while. This whole passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain covers it. I was really struggling with this verse. And I said, Lord, what's going on here? He said, he showed me that this valley of Baca was a dry desert. Okay? Dry desert. How many of y'all have ever been like in a desert, like a real desert? If you've been in a real desert, you know, ain't no water. Ain't no water out there. I mean, a real desert. There's no water. So it's strange that they said, as these people who want to come worship so bad are crossing a desert, a hot desert, one of the bad deserts. They want to come so bad that they are walking, not catching the Uber, not catching the flight. They walked across this desert to the temple, to God's house. And it says these people make it a spring. And then that's where God told me. He said, these people are walking through horrible conditions. But because they are so excited to see me, this is nothing to them. In fact, this horrible situation that they're in is covered up because in their head, it's like an oasis. It's like they're going through lush territory. Let me say it another way. They are going through what literally could be the closest thing to hell. But to them, they are so excited to go and meet God at the house of God that this just seems easy. What am I trying to say? The situation does not change, but how they view the situation does change. And when you have excitement of meeting God, it can change how you view your situation. Keep going, James. What are you saying? What are you saying? When you are excited to come to church and give God all the glory, when you are just excited that he woke you up this morning and as we would normally say, started us on our way and gave me a right mind and the activity of some of our limbs, when we are just grateful and thankful for what God has done, and when we are excited to see how God has blessed us, we're going to forget about the job issues we have. We're going to forget about the pain that we're going through. That's not even going to seem important because we're going to see our God. Some of us have been excited for vacations and we have gone through grueling weeks of work, but you ain't, it doesn't even matter to you because your vacation is coming up. And all you can think about is traveling. All you can think about is having fun. And even though people are coming and complaining to you and bringing their problems to you, what normally would have ticked you off, what normally would have driven you off, doesn't matter because your mind is on the vacation that's coming up. Why do I say this? God, when you are excited about meeting God who solves all your problems, the problems that come up don't even really feel like problems. Because you know that God is going to solve it. Because you know that God is going to have answers to it. And the reason, and why else? Because part of the excitement, not only are you going to exceed God at the house of God, but you get to praise him with other people. You get to praise God with others who are going through situations. You get to praise God with others who are going, who are enduring trials and tribulations. And I say this, and God revealed this is such a personal point to me. This is one of the reasons why I love coming to St. John. Because when God opened my eyes and helped me to see and to learn and be thankful, he could open my eyes to a Deacon Baker who's pushing a wheelchair and is still finding ways to come here. He opened my eyes to a Sister Tina Smith who's got her things going on and is still finding a way to be here. He opens my eyes to a Sister Patricia Smith who was homeless and still found a way to be here. He opened my eyes to a Reverend Burks who preached last week right after his uncle died, and to a Mary Coleman who's not even a member here and she still showed up. We've got people in here with fractured ribs. We've got people in here coming from a long distance. We've got people in here going through issues with jobs and with family and with organizations. We've got people here struggling and they're still here. And I'm saying this because Deacon Hunter did not come to me today and say a word to try to inspire me to come. You know how Deacon inspired me? He's here. You can just inspire somebody just by being here. And I say this to the online crew. We have Sister Helen Harris who wants to be here so bad, but you know she ain't missed not one meeting because even on her hospital bed, she is logging into Zoom and she is trying to find ways. We have Mother Harris, Mother Rebecca Harris, who has been logging on consistently. Yeah, I know, I see it too. We have people who are dedicated. And that inspires me because when I wake up and I got my own problems, yes, Pastor got problems too. I don't share it all, but I got them all. When Pastor got problems too, and Pastor don't feel like going on, Pastor feel like calling out, Pastor feel like quitting, he's reminded of the people who are going through things, whose body hurts, who's got MS, who's got arthritis, who's got issues with their bones and with their muscles and with their bodies and with their family and with their mental. He reminds me that these people are coming. Why? You can barely walk. Why are you coming to church? Your family just died. Why are you here? It's because this is God's house. And somehow, they're going to find a way to be here. And when I ask people who can't walk, people who are struggling just to get up in the morning, what I hear is that I won't complain. What I hear is the Lord woke me up this morning. That's what I hear. Hello? I say this because so many people are going through things in life And you can be an inspiration just by showing up. We haven't even talked about what you're going to say to them. But I want to let you know, St. John, I see you. I see all of you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm being selfish right now, I guess. I'm taking this time. Thank you for showing up. Not because I want to look at a full crowd. No, because I know what you're going through. And you said, and you're still here. Why is this so important? To worship God at the church building? I don't know about you, but I get motivation to keep going. I get motivation in the sermon. He continues with the psalm. Psalm 84, 9th verse, he says, "O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." Let me speed this up. God blesses us more than the world ever can. That's what the Bible says. And that's what those of us who have trusted in the Lord say, that God can bless us more than the world ever can. That's one of the reasons why I refuse to work on Sundays. Did you realize Chick-fil-A is the number one selling chicken sandwich? Did y'all know that? Have any of you ever been to Chick-fil-A on a Sunday? From the inception, they close it in reverence of God. Many business people would say that's stupid because that's a whole day of income you could have had. But yet, Chick-fil-A is number one. And missing a whole day. This is why I don't work on Sundays. God deserves his day. I'm just talking for me, okay? I'm just going to talk about what I'm doing. I believe if I give God the first cut of everything, not just money, which, you know, tithing, that's a thing, but energy, effort, and actually time, if I do that, then God will take care of me. My job has wanted me to stay out on a remote site for weeks on end, missing Sundays. And I've said no. And it might have cost me opportunities. Maybe. Or maybe God is blessing me because I'm giving him the top. And because I refuse to stay out there on Sundays, maybe God is preserving my job when everybody else is getting cut. Y'all remember I was talking about that a while ago, right? Still here. Maybe it's actually financially better for you to not work on Sunday. Now, again, that's a maybe. You work that out with the Lord. But maybe, perhaps, if you give God the best, he'll actually follow through on his promise, and he'll take care of you. I have seen that. I have seen that. And there is a blessing simply by being on his property. Why do I say this? Sometimes not all of us here are here in service, but we want to be. sometimes we have things to do out in the vestibule or in the offices or whatever. But we're doing our best by showing up and giving God the best of us. God does not withhold any good thing from you if you walk uprightly. And if God's will is for us to be as St. John, he is going to bless you for it in tangible ways. Let me say it like this. I know I got to end the sermon. Why is it so important to worship God at the church building? Honestly, it pays off. Here's something that I talked about this a while, but I want to repeat this. Every time you come to church physically, God rewards you. Now, some of us don't see those rewards in our bank account, but once you get to heaven, you'll see what I mean. Every time, and especially if you were pulled, you really wanted to stay home because you're dealing with something in your family and you still found a way to make it to church, God rewards you extra for that. Oh, you're hurting, you're physically hurting, but you found your way to church, God actually will pay you extra in heaven. Oh, you could have made all this money and whatnot, but you turned it down because you're here trying to give God the glory. Oh, God's going to reward you very well because he knows what you had to sacrifice. And I'm not saying you will see all of these riches here on earth, but you'll see them where they matter, which is in heaven. And when you get up there, and, you know, whenever I get up there, I want you to find me and say, Pastor, you told me so. It pays off to drive all the way from Palmdale here. It pays off to get up when you're not feeling well. It pays off to do what the Lord has told you to do and to come. And for those of you online who are trying to be here, it pays off that you found a way to connect. It pays off. You're paying off right now. And God understands you can't be here. Don't worry. He's got you. It literally pays off to come to church. Jesus left his home so that we could come to his. He left all splendor and glory. He left all perfection. And he came to this earth. And he lived for 33 years. And in fact, the scriptures, and he himself said in these scriptures, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus did not come here and set up and own property and build wealth. Jesus came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. He did what he needed to do so that we could have our home in heaven. He left his home so we could come to his. He went on that cross and died for our sins. And then he was buried in yet another borrowed thing, a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, he rose up. But what did Jesus do after those 40 days after he rose up? He went back to be with the Father. Why? Because he is preparing homes for us in heaven. And just as the Father inhabits heaven and earth, just as Jesus went back home to the Father, just as the Holy Spirit lives, he doesn't hotel in us, he lives. Our Sunday school teacher should have jumped up and said amen to that. The Holy Spirit lives, not hotels, but lives, not rents, but lives in us. That means God values homes. And so I'd rather see God in his home. And guess what? You don't even need tickets. We do not sell tickets to come to St. John. So since it's free, and since You don't have to reserve any spots. And since you can meet the living God here in his home, in his abode, with the people of God who struggled through so much to get here, my recommendation is that you should drop by, especially since you're invited. Come through to the physical building here at St. John. Come by and worship him with your fellow brothers and sisters. God is going to reward you, first of all, with his presence. First of all, with his presence. But God has other ways to bless you. And you will never know unless you come here physically to St. John Baptist Church.